Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with the first verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Listen carefully to God's word. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. For the weapons of our warfare, Paul says, are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds. I've got a battle on my hands. We say that when we are facing some terrific struggle. I've got a battle on my hands now. Maybe I'm learning a new job. Maybe I'm preparing for some final exam. Maybe I'm negotiating between management and labor. Maybe my battle is raising a strong-willed child. There are many battles that you and I face almost daily. No sooner have we conquered hill number 301 before we realize looming on the horizon is hill 226. So that it moves from one to the next, to the next, to the next. We're thinking this morning about facing battles. The wars that we are confronted with day by day. Paul had a battle on his hands. As a background to this particular chapter, we need to be reminded that in writing to the Christians at Corinth, the Apostle Paul had been criticized, he had been slandered, to the point that perhaps if he had been a non-Christian, he would have sued for some settlement. But regardless, he is writing this letter, and the tone of the letter, beginning with chapter 10, changes completely. No longer do we find Paul as encouraging or conciliatory or open as we find him in chapters 1 through 9. In chapter 10, the whole atmosphere changes. We see a defensive, if not an aggressive and combative apostle. His greatest combat, his greatest conflict that he is facing in this chapter, in this church, is whether when he finally arrives at this church where he has been denigrated by some, whether to be bold or to be gentle and so exemplify the meekness of Christ. That is his great battle. Now there is another battle. The battle is with those people who were questioning his authority as an apostle. But his battle was a strategic battle. The first battle, a strategic battle. And that battle was this. What kind of war do I want to engage in with these people? He says in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." You see, the Apostle Paul had an alternative as he faced those who were criticizing him. He could have brought out the heavy armor. He could have loaded the bazookas. He could have taken some definite physical steps to have these people taken care of. Or he could have fought the battle in the spirit. And that is his conflict. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. Else would my followers fight." You see, I'm suggesting that each one of you this morning has a battle he is facing and that he is fighting. When the irritating people come into your life and irritate you, when the upsetting circumstances confront you and threaten to undo your way of life, how do you deal with them? And how do you face that circumstance? The first decision that you have to make is the strategy that you're going to use, because either you can use the efforts of what is called the carnal man or the flesh, or else you can face that battle with the weapons of the Spirit. You see, our problem is that because of our fallenness as human beings, we tend more often, when we're confronted with irritating people and with bad circumstances, to just take matters in our hands and we'll solve it the best way we can. But we do so at the expense of handling it in a Christian, in a Christ-like way. Half the battle that you have to fight is with you, not with your problem, not with that person, not with that circumstance. It's you, Christian. You have a battle on your hands. I said Paul had a battle on his hands. You have a battle on your hands as well. The Christian life is indeed a warfare. If you are not prepared for that reality, for the reality that your life as a Christian is going to be moving from Hill 226 to 301 and facing the next battle, then you will not be prepared to live the Christian life. If your idea of the Christian life is to read something that is sweet and syrupy and that makes you feel good and that will enable you to experience happiness and lightness of heart, then that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the gospel says, you are in a battle for possession
of your spirit, of your life. If you don't know that, teenager, then you will experiment. If you don't know that, college student, when you go to college, you're going to think that you're free and that you're out from under Christian influence. But if you know that the war is within you, you're going to be Christ person first. If you don't know that, young couples, older couples, then you're going to think that your problem is your wife or your husband or your children. And you're always going to be looking for something to make you feel better, when what you need to do is prepare for the conflict that is warring against you for possession of your soul. We're soldiers, Paul says. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we read these words, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has enlisted him to be a soldier." If you want more evidence, if you look in a book not too far beyond 2 Corinthians, in Philippians chapter 6, Paul says, "Put on the whole armor of God." This is no cakewalk. This is no stroll through the tulips. This is no resting on some bed of ease. This is no experience where one becomes so elated day by day. He puts on his armor when he wakes up. He puts on his waist the truth. He puts on the breastplate of righteousness. He puts on the shield of faith, Paul says. He puts on the helmet of salvation. And he takes what is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And he prays always. And if you go into a day without being properly dressed as a Christian, the devil will find a kink in your armor. For you and I are in the midst of a battle, a warfare, and that is the proper equipment for it. Paul had a battle on his hands, and Christian, you and I have a battle on our hands as well. What exactly is the battle that you and I face? The battle is this. There are two opposing forces that are battling for possession of your life. These two opposing forces actually exist in your heart. Paul says, if you look at verse 4, he says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal." That's one. One force that is battling for you. It is the carnal man. It is the natural man. It is the old man, Adamic nature that still exists in you, that you were born with and that you will carry to the grave. But if you're a Christian, you'll carry it no further. But there is also in you, if you are a Christian today, what is called the Christ nature. There is the Adam nature, and there is the Christ nature. And dear friend, these two are warring within you to gain control of your heart. If you're not a Christian, you probably are not facing a battle, a war, and you wonder what in the world I'm talking about. If you wonder, then friend, it could be because you're not yet born of the Spirit of God and you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you. All you have is the nature of Adam, the nature of man, and you're still in your old nature. But if you are a Christian, there are two parts in you. There is the part of the flesh, the carnal man, that which loves the world and all that is in the world, the pride of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. But on the other hand, there is a spirit nature. And these two are always doing battle with each other within your heart. You know, Hollywood has dramatized this battle. I imagine some of you saw the movie The Exorcist. How a little girl who first began playing with a Ouija board that she found in her basement. It was supposedly based on a true story. And then she moved up to experimenting with different types of occult activities until she was possessed of a demon. That is a dramatization. I saw not too long ago a television movie. Now, I have to admit that I like some science fiction. I like things that are creative and imaginative, and there was one, I'm sure some of you would not watch this. It was called, Something Is Out There. Okay? Some of you probably saw it. Actually, it probably should have been called Something Is In There. Because the something out there got in there, that is inside a person, and controlled the person. Now, I'm sure that you are shocked to find that your preacher likes stuff like that. Sometimes it's a dramatization. But do you know what it is? It dramatizes too what the Bible talks about of the war that is going on in you. But let me tell you this. The war and the battle and the conflict that you're facing is not that dramatic. I mean, you can't see things coming out of you or out there that are fighting within you. At least I hope you can't. The battle that you're facing is much more subtle, if not quiet. How does the battle that you're facing shape up? Well, it takes the form of the people sitting at the next table in a restaurant who are talking so loud that you can't even enjoy your meal. Or it takes the form of my wife reminding me of doing something that I said I would do, and yet I haven't done it yet. Or my husband not taking the garbage out as he said he would take out. It takes the form of all the prejudices that arise in my heart, whether it's against a race or a certain gender of human being. It takes the form of the inward anger and rage that I feel when I am offended. It takes the form of the fear that I experience in facing life. That is the subtle battle. It is not so much something out there. It is something in here. And believe me, it is quiet. It is the lady who sits in front of me in church, whose hairdo is so high and wide that I have a hard time seeing around her. Or is it the little child who is always flitting and doing something and disturbing me? That is the battle that you face. Do you hear me? The real struggle that you face is in you, and it is a subtle struggle. It is what C.S. Lewis talked about in his book, The Screwtape Letters. Did you know C.S. Lewis was criticized because he aired that series of studies on British BBC radio during World War II? Here he was talking about the struggle between the Christian and the devil inside of him during the midst of the battle of World War II. And he was asked, why? And he honestly and rightly pointed out that the greatest war that we're fighting is the one of the heart and the one of the spirit. That is your battle. And that is my battle as well, Christian. That is what Paul is talking about here. He says there are two opposing forces and there are two types of weapons that we can use to fight. Either we can take matters into our own hands and we can act out what we feel and think and what our natural natures require us to do. We can yell and scream or become fearful and angry, and we can sue and we can react and we can coerce and we can manipulate and we can use guile and we can use deceit and we can get what we want and we can conquer that person or we can control that circumstance. We can do that. I can do that. You can do that. Or else, we can use the weapons of the Spirit of God. What are they? Well, just for example, in chapter 6, when we were talking about what will speak for the true Christian, we said in verses 2 Corinthians 6, 6 and 7, it says, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, to fight the Lord's battles in the Lord's way. Must be the priority of the Lord's man or the Lord's woman. If you have a disagreement with someone, what you have to decide, will I fight in the flesh or will I fight in the spirit? If I fight in the spirit, I'm going to fight me. If I fight in the flesh, I'm going to fight him or her. Which do you fight? Which has gained the upper hand in your Christian life, the spirit or the flesh? What is the battleground? Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. What Paul says is there are strongholds in your heart. There are fortresses that you have built up in your heart. There are pockets of resistance against God. That no matter how sanctified you are, no matter how old you are, no matter how old as a Christian you are, there are pockets of revolution against God where you're still saying, I will not. I will not let you see that. I will not let you control that. But Paul says, we are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, places in the heart where resistance still is holding out against God. When I was doing youth directing and pastoring in my first congregation, we would take the kids on retreats and sometimes play a game late at night called Capture the Flag. And sometimes the girls wouldn't play because it would be kind of rough. The idea is that you would have two teams and each would have a flag, and you would divide up and each team would form a little semicircle or circle around their flag, and the other one would too, and you would send out marauders from each team to break through the defense of the other opposing team and capture their flag and take it back to your fortress. It got pretty rough sometimes with people tackling and throwing others around, but it reminds me of what Paul says when he says in verse 5, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, for in order for you and me to pull down the strongholds of resistance to God, we have to bring our thoughts into the captivity of Christ. We have to capture the flag. We have to capture the stronghold and bring it unto obedience of Christ. That is the goal. Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you act and as you live in your heart, Proverbs says that. Jesus says that it's not at what goes into a man that defiles a man, but it is that which comes out. It isn't bread and cereal and fried okra, cabbage, black-eyed peas that defile you. It's what comes out of your heart, your tongue, your thoughts, your deeds that defile the man, but they've come from in here. That's why Paul says the goal is to lead every thought captive to Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this morning, dear Christian, do you know the places in your heart where the devil has set up a stronghold? Well, listen, you are mighty in God, and you can pull it down. Will you? You and I have a battle on our hands. Capture, tear down, dismantle, destroy the strongholds in your heart. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to him this morning. Let us pray. Our Father God, we do indeed thank you and praise you that we are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. As we face the Christian battle that we face day by day, we pray that you would indeed clothe us in the armor of God, and that you would enable us to go forth not as those who are fearful and trembling, but as more than conquerors in Christ. Oh, Father, we confess to you that there are places in our hearts that are yet strongholds, fortresses of resistance against God, secret places, unyielded, unconquered. Lord, cleanse us. Pull down the strongholds that we may go from faith to faith until we have finally brought every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. Father, those who just don't know what we're talking about today because they don't know You, deliver them from the bondage of themselves to the freedom that is in Christ, that they may become captives of Jesus Christ in this moment and hour. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.